Amen. Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1 tonight. And this is a sort of Christmas message. I say sort of because it's not directly related to the Christmas story, but it is. We're going to be looking at the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, who was, of course, the forerunner to Christ, but also a family relation. Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. And so that made John the Baptist and Jesus, I don't know, second cousins once removed on their mother's side. I don't know how all that works, but they were related somehow. So it's a sort of a Christmas message. And I want to begin tonight in verse number 5 of Luke chapter 1. And we'll read down through verse number 18 to begin with. So Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God, and you daily load us with benefits. And Lord, you want us to receive your greatest blessings, not only for our benefit, but also for your glory. And Lord, we should want that same thing. So instruct us from your word tonight about how to receive your blessings for your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if I were to take a poll this evening and ask the question, how many of you want to be blessed? I think the poll would come back 100%. Everyone wants to be blessed. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us is blessed. We are blessed by God in so many ways. And often we take that for granted. We don't often stop to really think about all the good things that God allows us to enjoy. But beyond the generic blessings that we enjoy, I believe God also wants to bless us in very specific ways. Ways that are specific enough that God gets specific glory in our lives and through our lives because of those specific blessings. And I cannot think of a better story that illustrates this truth than the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were blessed by God in a tremendous way. We don't know exactly how long they had been married, but we know that at the time that this story took place, they were up there in years. In fact, so old that Zacharias questioned the angel when the angel told him that he and his wife were going to have a child, a son. Now, children are a blessing. No laughing? Good. All right. Children are a blessing. And the Bible says that the fruit of the womb is his reward. And so it was a blessing just to be told that they were going to have a child. But beyond that, this was going to be a very, very special child. Because this child, who they would name John, would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have a very special mission. As a prophet of God, he would prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. What an amazing privilege. What a special blessing that was. But as we read their story, we learn some very important truths about receiving God's blessing. And I want you to notice these with me tonight. First of all, we see in this story some indications about the basis of blessings. The basis of blessings. You know, these two people, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were not just chosen at random by God. God picked them for a very special reason. And among the reasons that God chose them was the testimony that they had before the Lord and before man. Notice verse number 6 again. It says of these two people that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments of the Lord and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. These were godly people. Here's the first basis of blessing that we see in this story, and that is obedience. Obedience. If you want God's greatest blessing, then you must walk in obedience to God's commands. The Bible says that these two were righteous before God. They were walking in all the commands, and they were blameless. Now, that just doesn't mean that they were perfect and never made a mistake. But what it does mean is that they had such a testimony that there was nothing in their life that you could look at and you could say, that is sinful, that is wrong, you are not right with God. There was nothing about their life that you could pull down their testimony with. They were righteous people. They were living in obedience. Now, there is a difference between the generic blessings of God that God sends to everyone. Even as Jesus said in Matthew 5, that God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. The sun rises on the evil and the good. Those are generic blessings. But the specific blessings of God are reserved for those who are walking in obedience to Him. So let me ask you a question. Are you content with just the generic blessings that God gives? Or do you want the specific blessings that God wants to give you? Turn over to Deuteronomy 11 for a moment with me. Deuteronomy chapter 11. As we read through Scripture, it is very evident that when it comes to God's greatest blessings, He gives us a measure of choice and whether or not we receive them. In Deuteronomy 11, look at verses 26 through 28. The Lord said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." God says, I am giving you a choice, a blessing or a curse. How do you receive the blessing? By obeying. What causes you to receive the curse? Not obeying. Disobeying the Lord and going after other gods. You see, if you live in disobedience, God will withhold those specific blessings that He wants to give you. God is not going to reward your sinful behavior. You know why? Because He loves you too much. He loves you too much to reinforce sinful choices that are going to harm you and are going to hurt you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. God loves us too much to bless us when we're sinning so that we just keep on sinning. Jeremiah 5:25 says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." You realize that there are good things that God wants to give us, but He won't if we're not living in obedience. So the first basis of blessing is obedience, doing what God's word says to do. If you want to be blessed, you must obey. But then there's something else in this story that I think sometimes is overlooked. Look down at verse number 13. So Zacharias was a priest, and it was his time to serve in the temple. The Bible says that he was burning incense, verse number 9, as he went into the temple. Others were out praying, and as he's there in the temple, verse 11, an angel stands before him. An angel appears at the right side of the altar. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Wouldn't you be too? I mean, there he is all by himself in the temple burning incense, and all of a sudden here this angel appears to him. So he's very frightened. But notice what verse 13 says the angel said to him. "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." What prayer? There's nothing listed in this chapter that tells us what they were praying for. But the angel said, "Your prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So I think the most logical conclusion here is that the prayer that the angel is referring to is not generic praying, "Lord, please bless us," but specific prayer, "Lord, we would really like to have a child." Here's the second basis of blessing. It is prayer. Prayer. James 4:3 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." And part of the reason why we don't always receive the greatest blessings that God wants to give us is because we do not ask for them. Why is that? Why are we so timid when it comes to praying and asking God for specific things? Are we afraid that we're going to be disappointed? Are we worried that somehow we will ask something outside of God's will and everything's going to turn out bad for us? I suppose that there could be many different reasons that prevent us from praying for God's blessing. But none of them are valid reasons. Because God has commanded us to pray. In 1 Chronicles 4, we have a couple of verses about a man named Jabez. Somebody wrote a book about him years ago. I don't know a thing about it. I certainly don't endorse it. But I do endorse what God's word says. So let me read that to you. It says that Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. He prayed, and God answered and gave him what he asked for. And over again in the Bible, God admonishes us to pray specifically. If you want to know that God has given you a specific, special blessing, then pray specifically for something. You see, when you ask God for something and God gives it to you, it's pretty clear what's happening. God's hearing you and God's answering your prayer with a specific blessing. Let me say this. If there is a desire in your heart, don't be afraid to pray for it. Sometimes we're, I think, scared that, you know, "Well, I want it, so therefore it must not be God's will." What a terrible view of God. Like God is just up there trying to make our life miserable. And he's like, "Nope, they want it. Because they want it, I'm not going to give it to them." That's not our God. Our God is a good God who delights in giving good gifts to his children. Jesus told the parable about the father He said, if you as a father, one of your children came to you and asked, you know, for a piece of bread, would you give them a rock? If they asked for a fish, would you give them a snake? No, because you, as an earthly father, you enjoy blessing your children. How much more does our heavenly Father enjoy blessing us and giving good gifts to us? The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Of course, we have to keep our will surrendered to God. Of course, we have to say, Lord, thy will be done and not my will be done. But if there is something on your heart, don't be afraid to pray. Say, Lord, this is what I would really want. I think this would be a good thing. I think this would be a blessing. I think, you know, list your reasons to God. Have that conversation with him. Don't be afraid to do that. And here's the thing. If your heart is right and you're not praying a rebellious prayer, if you're not like the children of Israel who demanded of God, give us meat, and God granted their request but sent leanness to their soul, if you're not praying that way, look, God is too good to give you something that's going to be bad for you. He's not going to do that. And in fact, Philippians 2:13 says that it is he that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here's what God can do in your life. If you are wanting something that God doesn't want you to have, God can change your wanter. God can change your heart and mind and help you see that that's not really the best for you and you shouldn't want that. And how God does that is sometimes very mysterious. Sometimes he just takes the desire away completely. Sometimes he arranges circumstances to help you see things that you missed before and realize why it's not a good thing. But that is what God can do for you. Now, Elizabeth and Zacharias had been married for many years without a child. I've known some couples over the years who were unable to have children of their own. And everyone that I've personally known have shared with me that, you know, that was a burden. That was a desire. They wished they could have children, but they couldn't. And it was heavy on their heart. And I'm sure that was the same with Zacharias and Elizabeth. And the angel said to him, your prayer has been heard. You have prayed, you have asked God, and God has listened. And the angel was there to inform him that God was answering his prayer. Jesus said in John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So the basis of blessing here was their obedience and their prayer. But I want you to notice, secondly, there the danger of doubt in this story. In verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. The danger of doubt. You see, when Zacharias was told by the angel that God has heard your prayer and you're going to have a son, his initial reaction was not, hallelujah, praise the Lord. No. His initial reaction was, how do I know this is true? Did you see that? In verse 18, whereby shall I know this? He was not convinced. You know, sometimes I think we are mistaken in our belief that if God would just do a little bit more to convince us of the truth of his word, we'd really be convinced, you know. I mean, we have the Bible, but, you know, if he would write it in the clouds, or, you know, if He would send an angel to tell us and confirm it. Then we would really believe it. Or even as the rich man said from hell, if someone would rise from the dead, then they would believe. Sometimes we have that same mentality, but the truth is, if you will not believe the simple, plain promises of God's word, you're not going to believe, though a heavenly angel came and told you it was so, or God did any number of miracles. Why? Because it is a matter of simple faith. Either you will believe God's word or you will not. And if you will not believe God's word, then nothing will convince you. So Zacharias started from a position of doubt. How do I know this is true? Now notice his circumstances and what caused him to doubt. He said, I'm old. How old? He doesn't say. And I'm not going to speculate. I don't want to get in trouble. And then he had the audacity to say these words, my wife well stricken in years. I'm glad that somebody wasn't there recording him. Oh wait, the Holy Spirit was. He said, how do I know this is true? And so Gabriel answered him and said, here's how you're going to know. Because you did not believe my words, you will not be able to speak. And sure enough, from that moment until the moment after John was born and he wrote on the tablet, his name is John, he didn't utter a single word. He couldn't utter a single word. You see, Zacharias wasn't perfect. He was a good man, he was a righteous man, he was a godly man, but he wasn't perfect. And that should cause us to stop and take note. Because if a man like Zacharias, who God said was righteous and walking in all the commandments and blameless, if a man like that struggled with doubt, then probably you and I are going to struggle with doubt sometimes too. What's important to understand is that we must have simple faith in God's word. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. James 1 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You have to have faith in the Lord to receive God's greatest blessings. Now there's a curious parallel between the story of Zacharias and the story of Mary. You may remember that when the angel showed up and told Mary that she was going to carry the Son of God in her womb, she also questioned the angel. But there was a big difference in her question. She did not ask because she didn't believe. She asked simply because she didn't understand. Her question was, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I don't understand how this is going to happen. Zacharias' question was, how do I know this is true? His question was from a position of doubt. Her question was from a position of faith, just seeking better understanding. You see, what the angel told Zacharias seemed unlikely or even impossible. But the Bible says that there is nothing impossible with God. You must have faith in God to receive His greatest blessing. And that means having faith not only that God can, but also faith that God will. It's interesting. We know that they were praying for a child. And I can't say this for sure, but I wonder, if you'll give me a little liberty tonight, I wonder if because they were so up there and advanced in years, that maybe they really hadn't prayed for a child in a long, long time. I wonder if they had gotten to the point where they just stopped. Not necessarily because they didn't believe, just because it seemed to them like, you know, just wasn't possible anymore. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, God's heard your prayer and God's answering it. You're going to have a child. You know, when you've wanted something for so long, but you haven't had it, and you've prayed for something so long and it hasn't happened, to the point that you've actually kind of accepted where you're at as normal. And then it seems like now there's an answer to prayer coming. That can be hard to believe. Let me illustrate it for our church. When you've had a property in another county for 18 years, and you've prayed about it over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, it seems like there's an answer to prayer coming. Let's be honest. Sometimes there's that human side of us that says, I'll see it when I'll believe it when I see it. Maybe I'm the only one, but I doubt it. Because the truth is that we all struggle with doubt, especially with things that we've hoped for and longed for and wished for and prayed for so long. Don't doubt God. God can, and God will. Sometimes it's that second part that we really struggle with. We believe God is omnipotent, He can do whatever He wants to do, but we question whether or not He'll use that omnipotence for our benefit in answering our prayer. We're like the father who cried out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe you can, Lord, but I'm not sure if you will. God, help me have faith. So as we seek God's greatest blessing, we need to be aware of the danger of doubt, because without faith, we will not receive God's greatest blessing. But let's jump ahead in the story, down to verse number 57 of Luke chapter 1. Verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. Now, just pause for a second right there. Verse 62 makes me chuckle. Zacharias had lost his ability to speak. It doesn't say he lost his hearing. But, you know, we do that sometimes. Somebody can't speak, and so we try to sign to them. It's so funny to me. So they made signs to him how he would have him called. In verse 63, he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. Not shall be or should be or will be. No, the name has already been decided. It is John. And they marveled all. And notice verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Here's the third truth about receiving God's blessing. It's the priority of praise. The priority of praise. John's birth was the culmination of not just months, but years of waiting for God's answer to prayer. Literally, for years they had prayed for a child, and now since the angel had come and since they had found out that Elizabeth was expecting, they had waited for months, and now the child has been born. And as they're trying to decide his name, they want to call him Zacharias because that was tradition. But Zacharias said, no, 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 no. And Elizabeth said, no, his name is, it's going to be John. And immediately, as soon as Zacharias, in obedience and faith, sent that text message, if you will, his name is John, God gave him back his ability to speak. And what did he do? For 9 months or more, he hadn't been able to say a word. What is the first thing that he says? The Bible says that he praised God. He praised God. Verse 65, and fear came on all that dwelt about round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Let me give you some very simple, practical truths from this. When God blesses you, you should bless his name. It's that simple. When God gives you something good, when God keeps his promise to you, he deserves to be praised. He deserves for you to brag on him. The psalmist said that he would make his boast in the Lord all the day long. We need to brag on God a whole lot more than we do, because God has done so much for us. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You know, we often talk about living for the glory of God and glorifying God with our lives. But you know the most direct way that you and I can glorify God is by simply opening our mouth and giving him praise. By thanking God. By sharing with others what God has done for us. Psalm 50, verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. When you praise the Lord, you are glorifying him. We, at our Pie and Praise service the other week, we took a few minutes to share some stories with each other about blessings that God has given to us. You know, the thing is, most people enjoy listening to a good story. And look, we've got some good stories to tell about what God has done for us. How God has answered our prayers and how God has blessed us. Let's tell the stories. Let's tell people how God has been good to us. Let's tell people what he's done. Don't be generic. Be specific. Praise the Lord. You know, before we praise God publicly, though, we need to make sure that we praise God privately in our own hearts. We need to tell God thank you in our own hearts for what he's done for us. Yeah, you know, if you are not telling God thank you in private, don't get up in front of a crowd of people and make a big scene about sharing a testimony, what God has done in your life. Inevitably, that's just going to turn into a me show. No, be thankful in your own heart first and in private, and then go and tell others what God has done for you. You know, we have a book in the middle of our Bible, a collection of songs called the Book of Psalms. And many of those psalms were written specifically to praise the Lord. In fact, the word praise is used 132 times in the Book of Psalms. I think that's a pretty important theme then, don't you? Psalm 9, verse number 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Psalm 35, 18, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. And 129 more times, the Psalms say, praise the Lord. I had a grandmother, my father's mother, who she had a particular pet peeve that she wanted to make sure she passed on to her grandchildren. And her pet peeve was people who do not send thank you notes. And she could get kind of forceful about that. If one of the grandchildren didn't send a thank you note for a Christmas present or a birthday present or something like that, next time she saw them, she would mention it. Now, I firmly believe she wasn't doing it for the recognition herself, but she wanted her grandchildren to be thankful. And that was a practical way she could encourage them to do that. I hope you have a habit of writing thank you notes and telling people thank you. It is something that I've tried to adopt in my own life and pass on to my children, just as a way of expressing gratitude to people for what they do and different things. And if somebody were to give you a nice gift, I dare say just about everybody in here wouldn't think twice about sitting down and writing a quick thank you note, just saying, hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It really meant a lot to me. Now, if we would do that for one another because someone gave us something nice, shouldn't we do not less but more for God who has blessed us with so much? Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. God deserves our praise, and therefore we need to make it a priority. So let me ask you, are you in the place of blessing in your life, a place of obedience? If you're not living in God's will, if there is sin in your life that you are refusing to deal with, you are not in a place of blessing. You need to get it right with God. Are you believing God for the blessings? Are you walking by faith, praying by faith, living by faith? Because if you're not living by faith, God has not obligated Himself to answer those prayers and give you those greatest blessings. And as God blesses you, are you giving Him the glory that He deserves? Are you praising God for the blessings that He gives? Our Heavenly Father, You have been so good to us. We cannot deny that. Lord, we dare not think that the good things we have, we deserve, or that somehow we earned. Lord, everything that we enjoy in life is because You are gracious and merciful and You have blessed us with it. Our homes, our families, our material possessions, our health, our education, our friends, our jobs. And Lord, we could spend the rest of the night listing all of the many blessings that we have in life. Lord, we do not tell You thank You enough. So Lord, I pray that right now in this moment, the hearts of Your people would be stirred to praise Your name for the blessings that You have given. Lord, may we live lives of obedience and faith to receive greater blessings and give You greater glory and honor. I pray it in Jesus' name.